Welcome to the Calyrex Game Corner's Pokemon D&D campaign, featuring Cindy, a hot-headed teen with a penchant for arson, Gimli, an admirable father seeking to reunite his family, Elodie, a fun-loving baker with a whimsical heart, and Schmidt, a courageous young man searching for his purpose with a duck. Together, they make the Quacko Paco, and this is Dunsparce and Drampa. After blasting the rocky facade off of Granite Cave, Team Neo Rocket Galactic has descended upon Route 106, just north of Dufertown, to issue an ultimatum to our heroes. Hand over Elodie's partner Pokemon Cabbage the Alcremie, or Dufertown will be razed. The Paco refused the bargain, and as such, the forces of Team NRG have begun to lay waste to the idyllic island town of Duford while also seeking to make Gimli their captive. The Paco has engaged them in combat, initially only with the strange armored psychic creature first met in Mauville, but as the encounter progresses, familiar NRG admins and hordes of raging, disturbing Pokemon have been sent from the three NRG blimps down to the beach to engage the Paco. Where last we left off, General Rada, Informant Semele, and Agent Uranus were observed applying strange capsules or elixirs to their partners, Aggron, Malamar, and Basque Legion, respectively, as the NRG Zeppelins fire blasts of destructive energy towards the structures of the modest Duford town. In initiative order, Cindy, Schmidt, Elodie, and Gimli, what will you do?
So let's not forget that we were attempting to break the armor on the back of the creature that we have imprisoned as part of the strategy that we were going into it. So
yes, because we believe in the armor is potentially the plate or like some kind of essence of it, like
controlling apparatus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we get a friend,
and she's just gonna leave us.
Just for clarity, I think I heard you say prison, and the sanctuary was dropped. Just want to clarify that.
Oh, was it?
Yes, Alcremie was revived to drop the sanctuary.
Yes.
So we could attack the armor, because otherwise we couldn't.
Correct. You would not be
able to. Schmidt couldn't.
Schmidt couldn't. Yeah. Specific.
Mm-hmm. Which is very important. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very powerful.
I did read in initiative order. Technically, Schmidt's at the top of it, but we are at Cindy's turn.
Cindy. I was about to say, my turn was not. So what was the last thing that happened?
It was the baddies were the last ones who went. They blew up another building, and the admins, Rada, Semele, mm-hmm. and Uranus, applied some stuff to their partners, and they are marching forwards.
Well, I do be having Soli, and Soli be having powerful. I can't really like concentrate over heat, but that might not be a bad idea.
Do you want to describe what you're trying to do?
Just attack the pack, the armor as much as possible.
Because Cindy is forward, I think, in facing directions would be behind Armored Creature and Gimli, right? Next to Schmidt?
Well, Soli is next to Schmidt, yes.
Correct. Did I say Cindy?
Yes.
Yeah, I meant Soli.
But Flamethrower has a higher likelihood to do more damage or hit harder because the DC is higher for the save. Okay, we will flamethrower into, trying specifically to aim for the armor, but obviously it's a 40-foot cone, so.
Okay, so you're going to turn around and target the armored creature?
Yes.
Okay, and you're going to use flamethrower?
Yes.
Okay, I think there is a world that your allies could be in this range. However, you have a new passive.
Yes. Is that Cindy's passive? I think it's Cindy's passive.
Yeah. If you just want to review that in summary really quick.
Whenever a Pokemon commanded by Cindy level 10 or higher uses a move that requires a DC save, she may choose a number of non-hostile people or Pokemon equal to her proficiency bonus who are caught in the range to save with advantage. If the chosen characters make the save, they suffer no effects from the attack. If the chosen characters fail, they take damage as if they had passed.
Okay, so I also think that if Elodie has Pokemon out, which I believe she does in front of her, is Cabbage still there? Is that who's active?
Just Cabbage and Aubergine.
Okay. I'm going to argue that they have cover because the armored creature is between them. And I honestly think that applies for Gigalith as well. Trevor, is there anyone else that Gimli has out?
Yeah, Trevor and Lasagna.
Okay.
What is my proficiency bonus?
Should be +4 right now.
Okay.
That being said, the cover, I think, is essentially gives double advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Because they already have advantage because they're allies, and then they also have some cover because there's opponents between them. So if you guys want to roll for all of your mons, you're welcome to. It's very likely that you will save. And I'm willing to give you that automatic, but if you want to roll the dice because rolling dice is fun, then by all means.
I mean, I would definitely pick Gimli the person and Elodie the person to be, like, protected.
Okay.
Or have that thing. But if I can do 4...
Yeah.
I could do also Lasagna if Lasagna is not undercover.
Okay. I would also argue that the Mons in front of the trainers also kind of provide cover, so I think you would just give it to the Mons in this instance.
Oh, okay. It's fine.
So yeah, basically, if you're 4 Pokemon, you want to roll saves for them, by all means, but I am willing to let this be a free save here, because the odds are very likely.
Accepting the terms and conditions of my ranged attacks
yeah.
is much better.
Gamers, what do you think? Elodie, Gimli, do you want to roll?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, roll double advantage to save on Soli's flamethrower for your Pokemon, for your 4 Pokemon.
It's a DC 16 dex save.
Yes.
I rolled 3 different variety of dice. One of them got a natural 20.
Okay. So perfect. That's all you need to worry about. Which mon is that? Cabbage or Aubergine?
Pearl! Well, it doesn't matter. Because I just rolled another natural 20.
Great.
So
yeah,
both of them did.
The odds are in your favor. Gimli, how about your mons, Lasagna and Trevor?
One got a 16, one got a 17.
Okay, they're set. Very good. That was a little bit closer than I was expecting, but I guess they aren't super dexterous.
Still 16s, even if you get...
Well, they also... So also because I picked them,
yeah,
they take no damage on a pass.
Exactly. So all of those mons...
half damage on a fail. So exactly. It'd still be good.
Yeah, it's still not as bad as it has been in the past. Everyone has been getting more powerful, and that includes Cindy. You can all see as Soli releases a gout of flame from her mouth that, incinerates specifically into the armor that the armored creature is wearing, but also jets out, jettisons beyond. And you see that as it approaches your Pokemon being Aubergine the Liepard, Cabbage the Alcremie, Lasagna the Crustle, and Trevor the Gigalith, that the flames kind of like bend themselves around the allied Pokemon in a way that they only just get a little warm. They take no damage at all. The armored creature will save this at disadvantage because this is an attack from behind. And they fail it. So please roll regular effective full flamethrower damage.
18 plus 8. 26. Thank you.
26 fire damage?
Yes.
Okay. You can see as the panel on the back, which has seemed to have been taking the majority of the focus of Schmidt's attacks, it is starting to smoke, and there's little sparks coming off of it. The creature who is wearing said armor is still unfazed. Despite all of that ado, is one of Cindy's actions. What else would Cindy like to do? I believe Cookie is out and is currently pelting one of the blimps with a magma storm, correct?
I do vaguely recall that, yes.
You are okay. Doing it. That is great.
Fabulous.
I believe that's a concentration thing, or does that actively take your action? What does it say?
Cookie summons a devastating maelstrom of fire in a 20-foot circle centered on a point within the range. Any creature caught in the zone must make a con save against the move DC. On a failure, they take full damage as well as a guaranteed extra damage at the end of each of their turns as long as they remain in the zone. Duration, 1 minute.
Okay, so it's just going to work for a minute.
Yes.
Cool.
So anything in it takes 16 damage in it.
Cool. So yeah, you can take an independent action. I would want to retcon that. This was kind of before we were dealing with concentration. I would make this a concentration move, but we can deal with that as it comes up. As for now, nothing is violating or threatening to violate Cookie's concentration, so it is fine.
Okay.
So that being said, Magma Storm pelts into the blimp. I'm making a roll. A barrier, a force field of some sort is still like more or less deflecting the boulders that are raining from the sky that Cookie has summoned. It's not that it is not doing anything. It's just that it is not connecting with the blimp structure itself. You get the feeling that like an evil organization that chooses blimps as a mode of storage and transportation probably should be wise to protect them in a world of Pokemon. That if they were simply just the fabric that blimps were made out of, they wouldn't have lasted very long. So you can choose to give Cookie another action, or Cindy can do something, or something else. Surprise me.
I think what we've done with Magma Storm is if I do it again somewhere else, it stops where it was and then starts where it wasn't. But I think it's fine leaving the Magma Storm up. Is Cookie like near anything?
I have it placed in my head from last time that Cookie is near Cindy in this instance.
Okay. Could Cookie become in melee range of the Mew of two?
The armored creature, yes. Cookie can absolutely walk forward and interact in melee range.
Because like a fire punch straight to the armor could be fun.
You're welcome to give it a shot.
Ah, okay. I think it's worth a try.
Sure.
If not, Cookie might just like get really hurt or something.
Roll to
hit. But specifically towards the armor. Like, yeah. Ideally, don't want to hurt the armored creature.
Yes, the targeted shots, as you may have noticed, have different properties. So when I'm assuming, for the most part, unless you say otherwise, that we're looking to hit the armor here.
Fabulous. Okay. Plus 10 to hit, please. Okay. 18 plus 10 is 28.
Yeah, that is plenty.
To hit.
You can roll damage.
It did not burn the armor, okay. Unfortunately.
Interesting.
22 plus 9 is 31.
Nice, great hit.
Is the mathing?
Yeah. Is there any specific part of the armor that Cookie is striking? It won't be the back because that's on the other side of the creature, but, you know, are you looking at like an arm or a leg or a chest or a face?
Maybe like, if possible, where it looks like armor plates meet, or like there could be a separation, like separating helmet from plate, like breaking the armor off of the creature, if possible.
Yeah,
if
sure.
That's a thing that I could do. Like, if not, it is what it is.
We'll say that like the best front junction of where these armor plates meet up would probably be this creature's left shoulder as Cookie approaches. Everyone who can see Cookie can see that as Cookie steps forward, you know, focusing her mind on the magma storm that's raining on the blimp, but marching towards the armored creature with each step that she takes on the beach in the sand, as magma drips off of her, it leaves a little puddle of lava, and within the lava, as it cools while she steps away, these beautiful glass crystals form on the beach with each step that Cookie takes. She lifts one of her gooey fists and slams it alit into the armored creature's shoulder, and a big chunk of the armor flies off right on the shoulder. And you can see beneath it a pale-colored, bony, fleshy shoulder of this bipedal creature that is floating in front of you all. It seems that, muscularly speaking, it might be frail. Anything else for Cindy?
I think that's my turn.
Yes, it would be bonus actions or free actions or stuff like that.
I don't think I have any.
Okay. Without further ado, that brings us back to the top of the round. Schmidt.
Okay. I know we go through this every fucking time.
Let's do it again.
But action economy.
Yes.
Can I send out a Pokemon, have that Pokemon move, and then have another Pokemon attack?
No. So sending out a Pokemon would be Schmidt's action, and then giving a command to it would be one of the two in the action economy. The exception here is like the start of a battle, and returning Pokemon is a bonus action, not a whole action.
Okay. Okay, I'll just do the first part then. I will, because it's just Quacko and Diana that are out right now.
Correct.
I will send out Walter. And I want Walter to burrow underground to be in between the creature and the rest of the party.
Very cool.
The game plan is if he turns around for whatever reason, I have something behind him that can pop out of the ground.
Always be flanking.
Yep.
Yeah, the permanent flank. Yeah. Joining Diana the Gyarados and Quacko the Farfetch'd is Walter the Dunsparce, who emerges from Schmidt's Pokeball and immediately starts to dig, following Schmidt's instruction to be underneath the ground below the armored creature, who is floating in the air and is facing southwards towards Elodie, Gimli, and Cindy, while Schmidt and his Pokemon are behind to the north. Anything else for Schmidt?
I think that's it.
Okay, very cool. That brings us to Elodie. What are you doing?
Oh boy, it's my turn. Cool. Okay, so as far as this thing's armor situation, how is it looking?
Are you looking, do you want a value assigned to a description, or do you want just a description?
Just a description's fine.
Okay. It's looking like it is being broken. It is looking like the things that you've been doing has been damaging it. If you want a more specific value, I will make you use one of your actions to make a check.
That's understandable. If I went for another, because Cabbage still has her auto crits on strength checks. If I went for another pull on with Cabbage, trying to like pull the armor off, could I do that?
Yeah, and to an extent, it would automatically succeed. So if you wish to do that, you are welcome to.
I will do that with Cabbage.
Okay. Cabbage, after Walter the Dunsparce digs underground, just casually struts forward towards the armored creature, who again is just facing the lot of you and is floating menacingly, but not particularly attacking or anything of the sort. Is there any particular piece? I guess it's floating and Cabbage is pretty short. Is Cabbage going to jump to grab a specific piece? Again, there's like chest, arms, legs, they're kind of like shins, head, any piece that Cabbage wants to go for. Keep in mind that if Cabbage were to make a strength check to jump and reach a certain part, she would succeed automatically. So she has kind of full physical range of the creature. Alternatively, Cabbage is only really in range of not the chest of the armored creature, more specifically the back plate that seems to have. This is going to sound silly. What I'm picturing on the back is kind of looks like the flux capacitor from Back to the Future. Does anyone know what that looks like?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. That's kind of like the visible part that's on the back plate. But again, there's shoulders, there's legs, there's we haven't described this very much, but there is a long tail that sticks out of the armor as well. That is just gently swooshing in the air as it is floating psychically.
Cool. But yeah. Can I go for this said flux capacitor?
Yeah. Alcremie uses her Cabbage uses her automatic crit to target the flux capacitor. I do need kind of like an extent of how this is gonna go, so just roll a d20 with advantage.
Girl, I know this is like a good thing, but I might put this dice in timeout because that was another natural 20.
Okay, yeah, so
well, I don't like, know what's happening.
Effectively a crit on the crit. I'm looking for an approximate because like HP, there's damage in this instance, so I'm trying to calculate that. You don't have an attack, so I have a good way to approximate this. Basically, Cabbage has done just as well as she possibly can. Perhaps she feels personally insulted by this whole situation, that she is kind of used as a bartering piece in this kind of terroristic instance. So she jumps out of the sand and yanks super hard on the back plate. That is, again, described previously as somewhat akin to the flux capacitor from the Back to the Future series. If anyone hasn't seen that, it's like an intersection of wires that have like glowing energy through them, and they are like flashing like a pulse almost. Cabbage rips at the casing of whatever this device is, and for the first time, we see a reaction out of the creature itself as its shoulders get flung back and its head tilts back in recoil in pain as a large part of the metal casing around this flies off. You can see that the other chunks of the armor begin to loosen a bit, and you can see pink wisps exit from the armor from where in the spots that it has been broken. And after the creature recoils, you can see it slowly, slowly fall to the ground slightly. It is still up, still active, but it seems that it is hurt. For the first time, you can see that it is not feeling good. Anything else for Elodie?
Very, very good. I will have Aubergine do a fake tears against said creature.
Okay.
So it has to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. Rolling that right now. 16 is the wisdom save.
Okay, it beats.
Okay.
It has beaten it.
For flavor, remind me what fake tears would do.
It would make all attack rolls against the target have a +5 bonus until the end of my next turn.
Got it.
But that's okay. And then if I could bonus action give Schmidt a Elodie's party time.
Great. Something that Schmidt can dole out to Amon, correct?
I believe so.
Okay. I just had a mental image and you can let me know if you want it to be canon or not. I pictured that, you know, Cabbage with this current buff that she has from Ancestral Fey Magic, where she like her muscles are swollen and her eyes are glowing red like laser beams, kind of, that she jumped off and yanked off a piece of this armor. And then in a flash, she like immediately turned around and made eye contact with Schmidt to give the inspiration with like her. No, I was picturing like a fierce, angry face, like angry glowing eyes. Like this is serious. It's my canon. But if you guys want to overwrite that, that is fine.
I love it. Absolutely.
Great. That will be it for Elodie. Gimli, it is your turn. you've seen your party. They're doing some stuff, but also in the distance, you have a pretty good vantage. You see a charging army of strange, disturbing Pokemon, as well as some familiar NRG admins.
Okay. Look at this map.
Also, I should also specify, one of the most obvious things about the situation is that Gimli is still floating slightly behind and to the side of the armored creature, and he's suspended. He is frozen.
All right, gang. So I have two options. I can either try to build a wall to stop this army from coming with Trevor, or do we need to damage the armor? Is the baddie creature going to start reacting in a way that helps us, or do I still need to get rid of the rest of this armor?
Talk to him.
I think,
yeah,
because we have the three of us on the creature. If you can just kind of crowd control the outside and make us room to deal with this, regardless of however it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Oh, just put up a wall with rocks.
No, that's between us and that. I love the ability to do that. Yeah. That's what I just said.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. I'm sorry. I'm a little. My brain is.
I was like,
so
I have
foggy.
Two options. One is build a rock wall. So I guess the first thing I want to do is kick in earthen ramparts. Now we're gonna have to do some number crunching.
Okay.
To figure out how much this costs.
Yeah, let's do it.
So if I want to build a wall, that is probably, I probably only need to be like 10 foot high. I don't need it to be crazy because I just need to stop them temporarily.
Okay. While we
deal with this guy. So if I was like right where, you know, the baddies are coming in, but like right in front of like right around where Schmidt is.
Yeah.
If I was to build a wall that would try to cover roughly the beach span, that would make it inconvenient for them. They have to like spend time going around it.
Yeah.
Like probably like 10 foot tall. How much HP you think that would cost me?
I think this goes by measurement kind of, you know, visually in my head, but also this aligns with the map pretty well. I said that this like 5 feet is kind of skimping on this grid. Yeah. So if we're talking about like, if you want to block them from the beach and you can connect the wall to cut them off, like to meet with the wall of Granite Cave, that would be pretty successful. That is that is a 50 foot line for what I'm ruling here. If you want it 10 feet tall, then you can calculate that into earthen ramparts as a total of what, 500 feet? No. Is that how math works?
Well, like, so we had an example of a 30 foot long, 15 foot or 50 foot high wall will cost me 80.
Okay.
So 80 HP, yeah.
So
for a 30 foot, 50 or 30 feet long, 50 foot high.
Wall. So this would be less than that, surely, because it's 50
it would,
feet
yeah,
long, 10 feet high.
50 by 10. So if we're following the same logic, it's a third of that cost.
Okay. Then if you want to math that out, then by all means.
Because I think we just add the, like, all we did for the math for it was just add the length and the width of the wall.
Oh.
And it's always 5 foot thick.
Yeah, and that seems fair and balanced. Yeah, so then that's a 60 HP.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. HP consumption mechanic for protection. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Something taught by the Draconids. Thank you, Draconids.
So that brings you down to 96 HP for notes.
Okay.
And then, yeah, and we create a wall.
Yeah. Yeah, as flavor, it should be to no surprise that the stones that emit from the earth, as Trevor plants his feet into the sand, and you can all feel the ground beneath you rumble a little bit, the sand gets displaced. Between Schmidt and the approaching energy admins, just psh, 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 out of the sand, pillars of sandstone. Approximately a 50-foot long or 50-foot wide wall that is 10 feet high. Not incredibly high. You can still see the blimps in the distance, but just high enough where it might take some effort for someone who is rushing in this direction to either climb the wall or break through it or figure out a way around somehow. Thank you, Trevor. Very cool.
Okay. Now, what can our homie Lasagna do? That does cost me an action, and I don't believe I have any other bonus actions besides actually kicking up sand, which I'm not going to do in this area. So that's fine. Then Lasagna.
If you want, I know you have allies there, but Walter is there, and I could like pop rage. It is an option, just so you know.
Yeah. Hmm. So is there any? I don't want to contribute Lasagna to this boss. We just established that. So I have either prep a future site for energy people coming in, which also seems reasonable, or
that sounds hilarious.
Yeah, like they just come in. They're like, we got through the sample.
How strong is Lasagna's psychic?
The only psychic move Lasagna has is future sight.
No, like the ability, like
telekinesis.
Lasagna helped like rebuild a house.
Yeah.
Or like whatever.
Yeah, Lasagna has like basic psychic telekinetic powers, yeah.
So like, can Lasagna put a blimp in the ocean?
No. I'm not freaking Mewtwo, dog. I'm a crab.
That's quitter talk.
I think I'm just going to prep a future sight for Lasagna.
Okay.
So great. When they break the wall, the first thing that's coming through is just going to get smacked.
Is that an area of effect? I think it's a target, right?
It is target. That's only the first thing that breaks through the wall.
Oh, whatever the first thing is.
Yeah. We're just going to, we don't have to prep it for that. Obviously, it's just I get a free action whenever I want to crack it. So.
Okay. Yeah. Gimli commands the future sight, and anyone watching can see as Lasagna's expressionless face actually remains expressionless, but you get the feeling that they are preparing for something that they are perhaps seeing into the future. But they
no
are...
eyes roll back, no nothing. Just
nope,
like...
just a crab.
I know things.
Into the future.
Yeah, Lasagna used future sight, and then Lasagna
it
is
looks
just
like
there.
The Unite Loden picture. Yeah,
that is what crabs do. Okay, anything else for Gimli?
I really think that's it. Yeah.
Okay, it is now gone back around to the baddies' turn. It is at this point that the admins make their way to the wall. They had more movement. They probably could have made it to Schmidt, but now they are stuck, and they have to decide on what they are doing in this instance. You can hear, as a powerful creature, perhaps you can't see it, but perhaps Rada's Aggron begins to smash through it, rolling two hits. These ramparts have the same HP per section as what?
The total HP spend will equate to the HP structure for each 5 cubic feet.
Okay, so each 5-foot section has 60 HP?
Yes.
I think that's how you balance it, because if you spread out the 60 HP throughout the wall, it's, like, worthless, so...
Yeah, it's, like, 1 HP per thing. Yeah. So, yeah, it was based on the HP that I spend as the HP of the structure.
Okay. Rada's Aggron?
It does have rock typing.
It has typing.
It does. It has a resistance properties equal to rock typing.
Okay.
Is that the case because I use sandstone? Is it ground typing?
Mm.
Or are we treating it as rock typing?
Sandstone is still stone. Effect in Pokemon is associated with rocks. So I think I'm going to keep it as rock.
That's fine.
I like your argument, though. Aggron, Rada's Aggron, presumably whatever largest creature could smash into the wall like this, is rolling an attack. Or I should say rolling damage. It will hit the wall. Ooh.
Imagine it misses the wall.
Yeah. It is a little bullheaded, but not so much so. I won't explicitly say which number, but it was almost 60. smashes into this portion of the wall as there's just a huge crack right behind Schmidt.
That's all right. One turn of stopping Aggron's enough for me, dog. I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. You don't get the hint of anything involving Malamar. And while there are a few monsters that are flailing about, you notice that of all the creatures that kind of stormed out of the blimp and rushed towards you guys, that some of them that weren't even attacked are just starting to collapse. They are just like falling to the ground, and they are just kind of stirring. And the ones that were attacked are certainly knocked out. You hear a sound. There's a wall up, but you hear a sound that sounds like some teleportation, and a lot of just in the distance behind the wall. You do not see what has come out. You don't get the sense that Malamar has done anything. However, you do see Uranus's large fish, Basculegion, phases through the sandstone wall and goes right up behind Gimli and will vanish into shadows right beneath Gimli. I guess, yeah, as part of the baddies, the armored creature is kind of kneeling on the ground at this point and letting out a moan telepathically that you can all hear, just expressing itself in a painful way.
Does Future Sight do anything with Bastilegion phasing through the wall?
It would.
It's a free action on my turn that I can trigger
if
the
attack.
If
it's a reaction. Oh, it's a reaction specifically on your turn.
It is not a reaction. It is a free action.
On your turn.
Free action on my turn. Yes, that I can trigger it whenever I want to.
An initiative order that I rolled that hasn't super been impactful. Until this moment, underneath baddies, I've also written goodies. The Paco has some allies that are finally catching up. Directly behind you, you see Brawly and his Hariyama, as well as a gym trainer who has joined. Delaney has kind of come to her senses. She was kind of standing off to the west of Schmidt, closer to the entrance of Granite Cave. She's there with Gothitelle, and she's kind of collecting herself with all the situation that's happening. She's not entirely sure what to do, but it seems like, based on what you see of her, that she's coming up with a plan. Additionally, teleporting in behind Cindy is Wally, Elite Four member Wally, along with his Gallade. I was going to describe it, but I'm just going to say a very, very powerful looking masculine version of Gardevoir that seems to be proficient in martial arts. You guys actually all saw a Gallade in the gym, so you are familiar with Gallade. This one looks very powerful. Wally comes up right behind Cindy in an instant, and he says, "Glad I made it. What can I do to help? And he's asking, and anyone can let him know what's going on if you want him to help.
Can we have them crowd control their army and then just leave this thing to us?
Is there agreement?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Sure, yeah, that sounds good.
That sounds literally perfect.
That's yeah.
Like, beyond this wall is a problem, and we need you to sort it while we sort this thing.
Wally acknowledges, and he gives a nod and says, like he's in an anime that is dubbed because he actually said something in Japanese there. Or no, sometimes they just say, don't they? anyways, Wally demonstrates his leadership abilities, perhaps because he's somehow involved in the Elite Four, which is adjacent to politics. It's all kind of a murky description, but you get the idea that he is a leader of some sort. He's responsible for a population of people. And he appeals to the NPCs that are around here that aren't the Quacko Paco, and it says, well, you heard him. Let's all help out. And then, Delaney kind of snaps into it. So Gothitelle, Hariyama, Medicham, and Glade and their trainers all go up to the wall, particularly in the part where it is breaking, and they hold it and they reinforce it. And Hariyama just kind of uses a force palm technique to try and seal the cracks in the rock, as you can hear Agron smashing its body into it on the other side. It seems like perhaps they are going to be able to buy you some time. That is the goodies turn, and that brings us back to the bottom of initiative with Cindy.
So is Mewtwo... So what's the armor looking like?
It's looking like the armor served multiple purposes. It looks like that it was there for protection, and it was there for something else. That something else seems to be failing, whatever that is. Chunks of the armor have exposed perhaps weak spots, where you can see what looks to be a fragile creature underneath.
Does the armor appear to have, like, the plate in it or anything like that that we can tell?
That might take an investigation from you.
Fabulous.
Are you willing to...
I mean, if I melt the plate with lava, then no one can use it, right?
That's terrible logic. I don't think we want to make it angry. I think we want to make it angry at them.
I don't know what to do. So, like, how much of the armor is on it?
I'm going to say between 65 and 70%.
So the back, like, the major back panel is still on?
The panel itself is off, and there's, like, some exposed, like, wiring and tubes that seem to be, like, carrying perhaps a liquid or a plasma or something.
Very much a la Torkoal syringe.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Make a suggestion?
Yes.
Blast
please.
The fuck out of it.
The Mewtwo?
Yeah.
Is it overheat time?
Blast the fuck out of it.
All right. Is my, like, special ability every time I use a...
Yes.
DC? Okay.
It does not expire.
Fabulous. Okay. So I will protect four creatures within the range that could be hurt by solely doing overheat on Mewtwo.
Four creatures, yes. You may choose them.
It's a 20-foot range?
Yeah.
Who would be within that?
I'm going to say a lot, more than four. And what is the shape? What is it described as?
It's just 20 feet. It's not a cone. It's like overheat. It's like Tully's whole body is
I'm going to describe it as a ring, I think. Does that work?
Okay. Sure.
Do you want... I guess I'll ask. Would you... And this will make it permanent. Do you want it to be a ring or a sphere? That's what I'm asking.
Oh. A sphere could be cool.
Could be. It might implicate one additional Pokemon. Or, well, technically two, but one for the allies. Quacko. Not Quacko. No.
Oh, Walter Underground.
There is Walter Underground. That is correct.
Or I could do Flamethrower again, because that was pretty successful last time.
That is an option as well.
Okay, let's do that. Who's in range of that one?
It depends on where you're pointing the cone. If Soli just kind of... Well, it'd be the same unless Soli moved. So it would be Aubergine, Cabbage, Trevor, and Lasagna.
I know Cookie's in melee range, but does Cookie get, like, hot?
Just based on the double resist, you would technically take damage, but... Well, no, we don't do double resistances. That's right. If Cookie can take fire damage, yes, it will be small. It will be low.
Okay. I'm not going to protect Cookie. Cookie can free ball it. We'll protect four Pokemon.
The same ones as before?
Yes.
All right. We're rolling with it. I'd like you guys to roll. I guess... It's no longer floating. It's kneeling. I think we're just going to roll it raw. We're going to see how this passive works. Give me a dex save.
But advantage dex save.
Correct. Advantage DC 16 dex save.
Cabbage failed. Aubergine succeeded.
Okay.
Trevor failed. Lasagna succeeded.
Okay. Trevor and Cabbage. Yeah, you can read it, please. No, you.
Those who succeed take no damage, and those who failed take damage as if it was success. So you'll take what, half gotcha. Damage?
Yeah, so you'll have to roll so. The damage, and they take less.
Got you, yes. Fam.
Cookie failed, but Cookie takes resisted damage.
Yeah, so all these mons will end up taking the same amount of damage.
Plus 8, 21, so that's 29?
On a resisted hit, or is that the total?
No, it's that's 7 total. For me, then.
Okay, yeah. So bring that down to 14 for Cabbage, and then 7 for Trevor, and 14 for Cookie. That's still more damage than I thought, Cookie. But Soli's pretty strong, so that makes sense. And for the armored creature on the ground, I'm assuming you're targeting armor still, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. With Soli's vantage point from behind the creature, Soli incinerates the back portion of this armor. The pulsing wires and cables that seem to be pulsing throughout the armor and connected to the creature's body go up in smoke, and the armor falls off piece by piece. It falls into the sand along with some shards of glass due to the extreme heat. And the creature who is wearing the armor collapses onto its side. And before you, you see a very frail, weakened, almost looks malnourished creature of legend, Mewtwo.
I still have a turn.
That's not mine, Junior. What the fuck, dude?
Oh, dude.
We said that shit at the same time.
What the fuck
is this?
I'm not even kidding. Holy shit.
I'm out.
I did not expect this.
I can't play this campaign anymore. I can't believe it's not mine, Junior. And I've invested almost 4 years of my life at this point. But I can't. If mime Junior is not the armored creature, what's the point, man?
So it's collapsed. It's like taking a little snooze on the beach.
Perhaps. It is either unconscious or close to it. It seems that as the armor fell off, it almost looks like it just like personality wise and almost physically deflated.
Mm-hmm.
God, not to bring inflation back into it. Fuck.
Oh, no.
No, this isn't inflation. It's deflation.
That's true. It's not weird. It's not a fetish.
No, it's still a fetish, probably.
You saw that as the armor came off the creature that, like, you know, you didn't see its face very much. But you kind of got the feeling that it was like stoic and it was unflinching to your attacks. And now it seems like a vulnerable baby almost. It's nearly 7 feet in length, but it is just curled up in the fetal position on the ground in the sand.
Is Gimli still floating?
Gimli, I was going to continue, actually. Thank you for reminding me.
Oh, sorry.
Me.
Yes.
Gimli is not still floating. And once the armor comes off, Gimli's eyes kind of roll forwards and he like awakens more or less immediately. As this happens, the Basque Legion that was hiding in the sand leaps into the air and grabs Gimli in his jaws and begins to swim towards NRG. Gimli is conscious at this point, and as this is happening, he says, wait! Cindy has another action.
I was going to try to offer Mewtwo, like, a berry or something to show, like, that we're the goodies.
Okay. You're offering a gesture of kindness?
Yes, I have... I don't know much about berries, so maybe my friends can help me above table. I have 3 citrus berries, 4 lum berries, and 1 habin berry. What would be how friendship?
I mean, lum cures its conditions, but I don't know what conditions it would appear to have.
You guys are capable of Googling.
Yeah, I would probably say citrus.
Okay. I will find my signature berry pack, as Cindy has somewhere, somehow. And offer Mewtwo, like, a citrus berry. And I'll bring it up to, like, its mouth so it can just eat it if it doesn't want to move.
Okay. I'm going to have you make 2 rolls for me. The first one is a straight history check.
History. Does Cindy know anything? 13.
13 is good enough. It's not really about knowing. It's about an emotional memory. Cindy thinks back to what was now about a month ago. The last time that she took a good look at her berry pouch on a beach was at the Lily Cove City Summer Festival. And she reaches in her bag to pull it out, and she has a weird wave of nostalgia from a time before she knew about NRG and these new friends that she's made when she was still just an innocent 14-year-old. And the other check I would like you to make is an advantaged Pokemon handling check.
Okay. 17?
17 is good enough. You bring the berry over to Mewtwo's mouth. Their eyes are closed and they are trembling, shivering perhaps, even though they're on the warm sand. You hold it to their mouth and their teeth are gritted tightly shut. It seems that they are perhaps in a lot of pain, and they don't entirely know what's going on. But as the berry approaches their nose, a berry of the Berry Master's quality being served by a descendant of the Berry Master's, Mewtwo takes a sniff and gently opens its clenched jaws to allow it inside. Do you feed Mewtwo the citrus berry?
Yes.
Okay, you do so. Mewtwo chews it very carefully and cautiously, with its eyes still closed, and takes a swallow, and it seems that its shivering has decreased just a little bit. It is still in the fetal position in the sand, in a bad state.
Okay.
I think that is Cindy's action economy.
Yes.
Okay. Can we get a here, kitty, kitty?
Here, kitty, kitty.
She said the thing!
Is that what you say as you feed the citrus berry?
Yes.
Maybe as I, like, pat its little head.
Oh. That's really sweet. It seems, with your Pokemon handling role, it seems... You know, it's in a very bad state, but perhaps it is the ever so slightest bit comforted. I guess if you have nothing else, that'll bring us back to Schmidt. Schmidt pulling out the gun to kill Mewtwo?
Yeah. No.
Pop that Basque Legion, though.
I could just shoot Gimli. Yeah.
Whoa!
They can't have the info.
I'm too powerful. Yeah, this Basque Legion's a situation now, isn't it?
Sure, yeah, is. That's the core situation now, yeah.
It's fine, guys. I made a new friend. Here, kitty, kitty, Mewtwo, you know.
You got the underground spring-loaded trap of Walter, though, to desell the with.
If it helps, I'd rather not do it, but I do have what is essentially a giant master ball.
Hold on. Where is the Basque Legion right now? Where did it come from? Where did it go?
It phased through the wall as a ghost, and it went... Perhaps underground or perhaps into the Shadow Realm to be below Gimli. It moved in a straight line. It was already close to Gimli. So it faced through the wall and then went under Gimli. And now it has Gimli in its mouth and it has turned around. It's not its turn, but that was its prepared action. And it is heading towards energy.
So I have Pursuit on Walter.
Mm-hmm.
And it says as a reaction when a creature is fleeing.
This is technically fleeing.
No, it's 100% fleeing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I can do this? I'm not too late on that?
Correct. Yeah, you can totally do that.
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay. I think you still have to roll to hit, I believe, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
God, imagine if that auto hit, it would just be as broken as it was in the actual game.
Yeah, it'd be too much.
Bad news bears. That is an 11.
Okay, yeah.
Did you use your party time?
Oh, how does that work? Do I add it to my die, or?
Yeah, it's an additional die you can add to any roll.
15.
Oh, okay. It does not connect. It seems unusual because Schmidt is very confident in Walter's abilities, and Walter's a pretty powerful Pokemon, and it had this kind of prepared thing to go for, correct? And Walter leaped out of the sand and it went to connect with Basque Legion. And in a very strange turn of events, the section of its body that Dunsparce was about to attack kind of phased into water, and Walter did make a connection with it, but it smashed into a puddle, and then it reformed into Basque Legion as it continues to try and swim away. And by swimming, I mean it is floating in the air. A strange phenomenon.
That was a reaction.
Sorry?
That was a reaction.
That correct? Is correct. Yeah, that does not consume your action.
Oh, I still have actions.
And bonus actions.
What move type is Pursuit?
Dark.
So it would have really fucked them up.
Gotcha.
It seems like something... that was not supposed to happen with a normal Pokemon of this type happened, if that makes sense.
Oh, he's got them special things.
Am I in range for Quacko to Leaf Blade it?
Surely. You would have provoked an attack of opportunity from Mewtwo, but Mewtwo is not in combat.
Oh, that's a dirty 22.
No, that certainly hits. Roll super effective grass-type damage.
Is it not flanking because the Dunsparce is right there?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is now.
So is Quacko flanking?
Yeah, I would say Quacko is flanking because the Dunsparce is behind. Yeah, just make a crit, baby.
You're welcome.
is that right?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge number.
It's an even 100.
Quacko dashes forward through the sand past the Mewtwo that is curled up on the ground next to Walter the Dunsparce and slashes into the side of Basque Legion with his leaf blade, dealing an impressive 95 points of damage. The Basque Legion lets out a terrifying sound, like a fish roaring with souls, and Basque Legion has taken a great deal of damage. It is not knocked out.
Okay.
Schmidt is another action.
Yeah. And Diana has a mighty thunderbolt.
That is true.
14. That doesn't hit if a 15 didn't hit. So okay. Thunderbolt does not connect.
Okay. Additionally, roll me a nature check.
A nature check?
Yeah.
From Schmidt or from?
From Schmidt. I'm looking at 12. Give me a 12.
Plus 2 because Schmidt went to college. I rolled a 16, so 18.
Okay, great. After Schmidt, you know, sent off the command to use Thunderbolt, he realized that in this current predicament with Basque Legion holding Jim Lee, that Jim Lee would have been shocked as well. Not that that would have been a bad thing necessarily, just to get the deal damage to Basque Legion, but that is what would have happened because of the spectral but also watery body of Basque Legion.
I'm sure Jim Lee's fine.
Yeah, Jim Lee could probably handle it, but just worth noting with that nature roll. Anything else for Schmidt?
That is all I have in my action economy.
Okay, the Basque Legion, you know, it's not in combat at the moment, but it's looking like it's not doing particularly well. You can see around Jim Lee's torso where it is being held, there are some slight puncture wounds, and Jim Lee is bleeding into the sand as Basque Legion moves forwards. It's Elodie's turn.
So how far away is this thing?
Which thing?
The Basque Legion, sorry.
It is approximately, well, it was right next to Mewtwo originally, and they moved 15 feet, so it's about 20, 25 feet away from, it's more like 30 feet away from Elodie and her Pokemon.
Okay, good to know. So, Cabbage is close enough to be able to move to it, I believe. Do we think it is necessary to capture these friends in a sanctuary? Or do we think Basque Legion's, like, close enough that I should just try and take it out?
I would probably just take it out.
Okay. Good to know.
That's also, like, we're not done after the Basque Legion, right?
That's my main concern with doing it now, is, like, as much as it would guarantee us Jim Lee's safety, like, then Cabbage is out, and I have to either waste another max revive or just not use her. I'd rather not do that. That's fine. I can attack instead. Let's go for a classic Dazzling Gleam from Cabbage. So it does say all creatures within range must make a charisma save against the move DC. I don't know if any other opponents are in range.
Both Quacko and Walter are in melee range of Basque Legion. And Jim Lee, for that matter.
Am I rolling dice?
Perhaps.
Oh, wait a fucking second. Hold on. Okay, so there's a little bit of language in this. So my evasive stance says that I can make a disadvantage to being targeted by an enemy.
Yes.
I'm being targeted, so I guess I can't evasive stance Cabbage attacking me?
Yeah, you're being targeted. You can use your reaction to evasive stance. Or is that a bonus action?
Use their bonus action.
I mean, your turns are next to each other. I think I would allow it as a bonus action because LD hasn't done anything yet. So if you want to have one of your Mons, or how many Mons can do it? Can all of them do it? It's a certain level threshold, right?
Schmidt and his Pokemon level 10 or higher can use their bonus action to impose disadvantage to being targeted by one enemy that they can see as long as no other combat specific disadvantages are at play.
Yeah, I think both of your Mons have a bonus action. They could both target Cabbage with evasive stance if they wanted.
Okay. Fired away.
Okay.
Ality.
Great.
I can do that. So is Dazzling Gleam a roll to hit or is it a save?
It's a save.
It's a save.
So
you think you would get advantage on the save, right?
Correct.
So I'm getting advantage on the save. Okay.
Yes. So and it is a charisma save. Sorry.
I'm rolling two charisma saves.
And let me know.
As is Basque Legion.
What you rolled. Yes, as is Basque Legion.
Basque Legion gets a even 13.
Okay. One more and it would have been blinded. But that's fine. It still fails.
Great.
Okay, Walter got a 15. Quacko got an 8.
Oh no.
I have advantage.
You have advantage.
Oh god, thank you. Okay, so Quacko has a minus 1 in charisma, so I rolled a 17, but it's a 16.
Okay, at least you're not blinded. That would have been really bad. I would have felt really bad if I blinded you. Okay, so it'll just be... I'm still doing damage to you, I'm sorry.
Okay.
As long as it's not Cindy, right? Because I think everybody failed. As long as it's not Cindy, I have special permission.
I've signed to the terms and conditions of this one. I'm fine.
So that's, 35 fairy-type damage to the boys.
It's a good chunk. Cabbage is pretty strong.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. How is Gimli looking?
Gimli, it seems like every time Basque Legion takes damage, it like bites into Gimli. And so his torso and back are kind of looking a little chomped on. He's bleeding into the sand through Basque Legion. It's not great. But he's conscious. He's just like kind of, you know, he's not flailing, but he's not having the best day, you could say.
Right.
And Basque Legion, it's hard to get a full gauge on as you haven't interacted with this Pokemon much, and you can't see its face at the moment. Dazzling Gleam is bright enough where it can like wrap around to hit its eyes, but it also deals damage with the glow itself. It's not super thrilled. Basque Legion has taken a good chunk of damage in the past 12 seconds.
Okay. Well, I'm actually just going to leave Aubergine's move up to Fate then, and I'm going to assist Cabbage.
Oh. Let's see what happens.
Quick question, and I don't know if I've done this before, but Cabbage also has Healing Kiss. Would that be like a, would there be a chance she gets Healing Kiss? Or should I just roll the D4 for her four main moves?
Do you want there to be a chance to get Healing Kiss?
I kind of do.
Okay, roll a D6 and on a one or on a six reroll. And then Healing Kiss can be the fifth one.
I rolled 5.
Great. So it's time for Aubergine to give a little smooch.
Smooch, yes. I would like Aubergine to smooch Gimli, if that's possible.
Yes.
She has enough speed to be able to get there.
She can get there. It's just Gimli's in front of Basque Legion, and you may provoke an attack of opportunity. Do you agree to this?
That's fine.
Okay. It's not going to be a bite attack because the mouth is currently occupied. But yeah, on your way, on Aubergine's way over, Basque Legion, what will Basque Legion do? I think Basque Legion will swing its tail around in an attempt to smack Aubergine, deal some damage as it's approaching. Rolling to hit, I think 24 should hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Okay. Rolling damage, this will be water-type damage.
Okay.
29 points of water-type damage as Aubergine is running up to tend to Gimli. Basque Legion crashes its tail into Aubergine, dealing a chunk of damage.
Okay.
You can roll how much you're healing. It will be in half because Pokemon to human healing.
I do remember that. That's 13 HP healed to Gimli.
Okay.
Gimli, sorry.
Great. Yeah, Aubergine the Liepard struts up, gets smacked by a fish, and then gives Gimli a little kiss. Is there a
kiss?
Is it a kiss on the cheek? Is it a kiss on the leg? Where's the kiss?
If you're getting a little smooch, you're getting a little kiss on the boo-boos.
And the boo-boos, yeah. Wherever he's hurting.
So in the torso?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Is it like a cat kiss or like a person kiss with puckered lips?
Like a cat kiss where she's just licking him.
So a little lick, and there's like a pink glow as Gimli feels a little better about being chomped in his back and stomach by a big scary fish. Thank you, Aubergine.
Cool.
Anything else for Elodie? Right.
I mean, it's been a minute since I've done an Ancestral Fey Magic.
Do you have any left?
I do.
Okay.
I have 2 left, I believe.
You're welcome.
Because I only
did
one before.
Depending on what it is, it may overwrite the crit alchemy.
Fine.
Okay. You give it a roll.
Understandable.
Then. Yeah.
83. A new one.
It is new. Oh! Whew. Very interesting.
No.
Cabbage's crit eyes cease glowing red, and instead Cabbage turns to face everyone and begins to levitate and spin as if she were possessed. Her visage becomes pale and ghostly, and she stretches out her hands, and from her body emits a pulse of spectral ghost-type energy that hits everything without discern within 30 feet of her, taking roll 1d10, Elodie.
So ghost type damage.
So your normal types are ineffective.
They're fine.
Correct.
I believe that was a 10.
Okay, so max damage. That's great. So we're looking at Basque Legion, Gimli, Aubergine, Cookie, Mewtwo, Soli, probably Lasagna.
And Cindy,
yeah. I'm not sure if Elodie and Gimli are within 30 feet of Cabbage, who's right next to Basque Legion. I don't think they are. But I would wager that Trevor and Lasagna would be. So if I said your name, you're taking 1d10 of ghost type damage. You can take 5 if you're a person.
Soli was in there too.
Soli was in there as well. You know who takes super effective ghost type damage?
Mewtwo.
Mewtwo.
Besk. Oh, oopsies. Sorry, Besk. Sorry, Mewtwo.
Mewtwo takes 20 points of ghost type damage and stops shivering. As Mewtwo is unconscious now.
Ooh. We defeated Mewtwo.
All part of the plan.
Nope, you just ruined our one shot of getting out of here, probably.
We can revive him. We can revive him. It's
fine. I have
a
max revive.
I do, yeah.
This is an incredible achievement.
We just had to know to get the Chivo.
Achievement unlocked.
A good thing it's my turn next. I can revive Mewtwo with a max revive.
But a max revive goodness. Should make it better than it was, because it was like sickly.
Right. Bring this mofo back.
Oh, I forgot the most important part of this. Cabbage regains all the hit points dealt as damage as HP back to her.
Oh, it absorbs them? That's kind of dope, actually.
Yeah. So.
Hell yeah.
That, like, outside of the fact that you just like pelted literally our entire squad with ghost damage.
Yeah, I think Cabbage
gets 100
HP. Which, by
the way, Lasagna takes super effective damage from that, so thank you for that one.
I think it's 100, right? It's around there. I'm happy to just give you 100, I think. Because
is it temporary HP then?
Are you at your max?
No. I'm at my max, yeah.
It's going to go beyond that, like,
yeah,
easily.
Let's just...
Yeah, it would definitely be beyond that, so I can just full to heal. Heal to full, sorry.
Yeah, heal to full.
Because you're getting 60 from Mewtwo...
And Basque Legion is super effective, too.
Basque Legion and Lasagna.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right out the gate. So you're getting 60.
Guaranteed. Heal to full.
Yeah. So
she's fine.
That's kind of neat, I guess. After Cabbage does this sinister trick, she just falls to the ground, fully healed, and looks around as if nothing happened. Anything else for Elodie?
I think I've caused enough chaos. That'll be my turn.
Okay. Gimli, you are correct. It is your turn. What's going on?
Oh, crazy. So, first things first.
I'm just saying, if you don't want to heal Mewtwo, that's fine, because Gimli is about to be taken by Basque Legion before my next turn. Basque Legion.
Well, Basque Legion took 20 points of damage from that. It should be close to knockout at this point.
Yes, but I'm just saying, like, that might... I mean, obviously, you can do what you want, but that might be a priority.
Well, I can open with, like, damaging Basque Legion. Because I do have... A free action to
future
sight on it.
Yeah, go for it. That's a guaranteed hit as well, I believe.
That is a guaranteed hit. So, yeah, imagine if they could dodge it. That move would suck.
What is the formula?
4d10 plus 10.
Okay, please roll it.
38 damage.
38 damage is enough to knock out Basque Legion.
See, didn't even consume any action economy. We're good.
The future... The premeditated future sight connects into Basque Legion as if Lasagna knew this was going to happen all along.
Yes. With the empty look in its eyes.
Yes.
It's like, guys, it's fine. Like, no worries.
Lasagna was never stressed. Basque Legion kind of falls into the sand, half of its body, like a limp fish, kind of phasing into a spectral kind of shadow in the sand. But it's kind of just floating there. Or resting there, it's not really floating even. Eyes open, and Gimli kind of pries his way out of its jaws and tries to collect himself, and he looks around confused and strangely confident, though, and he'll give a nod of acknowledgement to both Lasagna and the rest of the Paco.
It's max revive time.
All right, you're administering a max revive to Mewtwo.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let's hoop a portal out of this bit.
You do give the max revive to Mewtwo. All of its hit points restore. That being said, it is still in a critical state, strangely enough. Mewtwo regains consciousness and his eyes open, but he's still very tense and shivering and appears to be very, very weak.
Boy, they did a number on you, buddy.
Roll a charisma.
Oh, I got to riz up Mewtwo. Here we go. Yeah. All right. Not great. All right. I got an 11.
Okay. That's fine. You and the rest of the Paco, specifically, hear a telepathic voice in your head, and it has a different quality to it than what you've heard coming from this creature. Gimli, you said something like they got you pretty well or something?
Yeah, they did a number on you, buddy.
Yeah, and Mewtwo says, in all of your heads, more than you know.
Oh, boy. Well, can we get you out of here, bud? We gotta go, and you were held captive.
Mewtwo.
Your strength? Can you move?
Mewtwo lifts a three-fingered hand and he says, yes, let's. And a psychic power channels through his fingers and it just kind of fizzles out. Mm. And he looks at his hand, concerned, and he says, how do you propose that we escape?
Well.
Are we taking actions right now?
It's still Gimli's turn. I'm going to let him say probably one more thing, because then we're looking at 6 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, I still have to take actions. Well, I should look to strengthen the wall. I definitely want to do that, because I can reinforce the wall.
Okay, you want to use an action.
Portal?
The wreckage of the armor for the psychic plate.
Oh.
We are an initiative.
What about it? What are you talking about?
Wants to search the rubble.
Oh, okay.
Plate there.
Yeah, I can search the rubble. Let me call what the reinforcement is for Earthen Ramparts.
Earthen Ramparts is a bonus action?
It's a full action for Trevor. I haven't used any actions yet.
Oh, that's right. Free action. Yeah.
Yeah, the future says
administering.
Oh, an item.
Max
that's correct.
Is an action.
That is correct.
Oh, that's true.
So you have one.
Well, I can't search the rubble then.
Someone else can.
Yes, but I can't. So critically, because I already used Gimli's action, which Gimli
can't search
the rubble.
Can just psychic hold on to the rubble for now, and we can.
Yeah, what are we
going to
do? Shake
later?
It like loose change? Like what are we?
But like, if we hoop a portal out of here, we want to take it with us. So. Even if we can't look at it, maybe Lasagna could just, like, yoink it so we have it handy. Just an idea. Yeah, obviously, you do.
Yeah, I can have, like, instead of strengthening the wall, since the other guys are clearly handling it, I can gather the armor with psychic energy and just put it in a bundle to prepare it.
Okay, you're going to scoop it up and just kind of hold on to all of it?
Yeah, kind of condense it into, like, a psychic energy ball that Lasagna's going to, like, psychically carry around.
Okay, yeah,
probably
you can.
Some concentration, right?
You can certainly do that, yeah.
I think that's all my economy then. So.
Okay. That brings us to the baddies. Agron is going to continue to try and smash through the wall. That is a natural 20, so it is certainly going to do so. It pushes past Hariyama, who is trying to hold the wall back, and there's a grand collision as Hariyama is grappling Agron's horns. And there's something strange about the metal on Agron. It seems that it is particularly like shiny, but also all of its metal plating seems to be serrated at the moment. Something has physically changed Agron's appearance, and they are in this grapple. But with the crit, Agron will lift up Hariyama with its horns and throw it into the air. Where will it fall? I'm going to roll a dice on the map because I have it drawn right here. Yeah, falls into the ocean. Agron flings Hariyama probably 60 feet to the west. No, sorry, to the east. And Hariyama makes a huge splash as Brawly is like taken aback at how powerful this monster is. It stands up fully and it pulls its arms back and it lets out a harrowing roar. And it looks around, it takes in the situation, and it sets its eyes on the Paco surrounding Mewtwo. And it seems that will be its next destination. Through the hole in the wall, following behind Agron, is a series of additional creatures, this time with a different theme. Again, they are all looking kind of disturbed and or malformed. They all have kind of a red rage in their eyes. They don't look like normal, happy Pokemon. All the ones that you saw before had a certain trend about them. They all perhaps seem to have shared a characteristic. These ones all, let me describe a few of them. There is a Pokemon that is identical to Callisto's Mightyena, but it just seems smaller and weaker, but is the same species of Pokemon. You see a fox-like Pokemon that has golden rings around its body that it charges through. You see a dog that looks crossed with a devil that charges through the hole, and you can hear pounding in the background. As you peer around past the hole that Agron made, you can see a deformed Tyranitar seeking out how it's going to smash through this hole that Agron force through. Additionally, you see like a savage looking crab that you saw on your first day of your adventure. You see a Crawdont. This is the type of Pokemon that is coming through the hole that Agron has made. Additionally, Semele's Malamar begins to float over the wall, just very slowly and cautiously and without much concern about what's happening around it. It is now floating slightly above the wall and it's making its descent on the other side. And additionally, the blimps are going to, one of them is going to change its targeting to focus on specifically Mewtwo lying on the ground. And another one in the back will fire its cannon into Dewford Town, destroying another building, this time targeted in the residential district. As a giant cannon fires, a bunch of energy pulses through the air as there's a sonic boom, and you hear the sound of rubble and people screaming. That is it for the baddies. For the goodies, Wally's Glade is going to engage in combat with Aggron. Try and hold him back. They're going to do a grapple. I'm going to be rolling for myself. A natural 18 versus a natural 7. If I don't even need to add their modifiers, Glade is going to be able to hold Aggron back temporarily, but it is kind of locked in with the Paco. It wants to charge you really bad, but Wally has given the instruction for Glade to hold it back. Malamar is currently uninhibited, and again, Dark-type Pokemon are rushing in. By the time it gets back to the baddies' turn, they will have swarmed you. It's Cindy's turn.
The ring!
The one ring to rule them all?
We're just bailing on the town?
Yeah, it's kind of fucked, guys.
Yeah, But...
We gotta save me too. Nurse him back to health. We saved Jimly.
There are other people in this town.
Yeah.
And there aren't any houses anymore.
Wow, even worse. Jesus. Holy.
It's not an easy situation.
But like, if we just bounce, they'll be like, wait, fuck. Then they have to find us.
You're right, and they'll just leave the... They'll not tear apart the town looking for us.
Yeah.
What?
Wally seems to have it under control. Honestly.
One person. Yeah, he's got it.
And Officer Delaney, she's fine.
You're not really painting yourself as a good person in this scenario here.
I just think we could take Mewtwo back to the berry farm, give him some soup.
Some soup.
Some soup, some berries.
Well, either way, you don't have the ring. So unless you want to spend an action taking it from Elodie, you'll have to do something else.
What can I do?
You could make a check. You could use an item. You could have your Pokemon do something.
Mm. All right. So Magma Storm's still happening on the blimp.
Yeah, I don't think Cookie's concentration has been broken.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to end that Magma Storm.
Okay.
And set another one, like, literally just behind the wall.
Okay, on the other side of the wall, where you are not?
Like, just far enough back that, like, the edge of the 20-foot circle is, like, kissing the wall.
Okay. But I'm just want to clarify on the opposite side of the wall, not the side that you're on.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Cookie can
so
do that.
So it might be raining
issue.
On Radha and Semele and Yuri and
whoever's over
decrepit
there.
Decrepit friends. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can do that.
So it's a 20-foot circle. So anyone caught in it must make a DC 18 con save.
Okay.
And then the damage, 41.
Yeah, great. A magma storm changes its targeting to some undescribed creatures and or people on the other side of this wall. And mm-hmm. It seems pretty successful. What else for Cindy?
What can I see through? Like, I could just see some Pokemon coming in through the hole.
You see lots of Pokemon that share a characteristic that seem to be deranged, or deformed, or something is wrong with them, but they're all rage-induced.
Okay. Can Soli, like, turn around, face the hole, and have, like, Schmidt... Because Soli's next to Schmidt.
Yeah.
Have Schmidt be, like, to the side or behind her, so that way a flamethrower won't hit Schmidt.
Yeah, and even then, you could even... Like, even if he's point-blank, you can still use your new passive to protect him, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I want to aim at the, like, Aggron and the Glade.
Okay.
And protect the opening. Glade. And the opening. So yeah. Whoever else is in the 40-foot cone.
Yeah.
But I want to try to protect Glade. So Glade gets advantage.
Okay.
That is a DC 16 dex.
Okay. Glade will pass. Very cool. And then you're also targeting Aggron and the Pokemon that are incoming.
Yes.
Okay.
And if they fail by 5 or more, they are burned.
Okay. Yeah, just roll your damage really quick and I will deliver
distribute,
that.
Distribute, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. 16 plus 8.
24?
Yeah.
Yeah, 24 points of fire damage as Cindy unleashes a flamethrower from her breath. Again, creating shards of glass underneath the sand where she is blowing it. It seems to wrap around Glade and target Aggron, and in fact target it in such a way that it has received a burn. Additionally, the flame channels itself into the hole that Aggron made in the wall, and various dark type Pokemon are seen. Or I guess I just revealed what they are. They're dark types. I think you guys do. Various Pokemon that are trying to charge through are seen. Some of them like recoiling. Some of them continue to charge through, and some of them just fall to the ground after taking that damage. Anything else for Cindy?
I think that's all I can do.
Okay, Schmidt, what are you doing?
I don't know.
It's a tough situation.
Every turn has been so like drastic.
Yeah.
Different. Yeah. Like, last turn I was going after Basculesion. Turn before that I was trying to kill Mewtwo. So what is the situation with the hole? How many have come through the hole?
Also, the blimp is targeting Mewtwo. So Mewtwo's going to have to move one way or another. Just right? I don't know what the time frame is.
Yeah, that's correct. The only Pokemon, there are plenty of Pokemon. There's like four of them in the threshold where the Aggron made the hole. And they're pretty close, but they're not going to get to you until their next turn. And only some of them will. But some of them definitely will.
Can I ask Holly and be like, hey, do we have any backup coming or is it just you? And do you think you can handle this on your own?
Wally says, I called the other Elite Four. They're on their way. I don't know when they'll get here.
Okay.
He answers your second part of your question and he says, I honestly don't know.
That's not reassuring, brother. Okay. For now, let's... He said there's four Pokemon in the threshold.
Yes. There's a couple Pokemon that fell, that were past the threshold, that fell to Soli's Flamethrower. They're just on the ground.
Okay, can I shoot a Hydro Pump at all the Pokemon in that hole?
Yeah, absolutely.
And push them back, or out, or in whoever behind it?
Yeah, definitely.
In that 80-foot line?
Yep.
Yeah. That is a DC 16 deck save that they have to make.
Okay. Yeah. A pretty successful Hydro Pump. Just, what's the damage formula?
6d6 plus 10.
Yeah, just roll it really quick.
34. And you have the option of forcing creatures who failed to save to be knocked prone and 15 feet behind them. That is exactly what I want to do.
Okay. Yeah. Diana unleashes a torrent of water from her mouth that is already agape, and it blasts through the hole in the wall and pushes a significant number of these creatures, probably about 14 or 16 of them, knocked prone on their backs beyond the threshold, and it'll take them a while for them to stand back up. That being said, their places are soon to be quickly refilled by other Pokemon waiting in the back to charge through. But a number of them have been knocked over. And there is a limited number. This isn't just an infinite amount at the moment.
They're targeting Mewtwo is my biggest concern. So we might have to bail.
Isn't Elodie next?
I don't want to leave Wally by himself, though.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked.
The other Elite Four are on their way.
Oh, you keep trying to justify just bail. It's so rough.
But Mewtwo needs berries and soup.
The soup will fix everything. He hasn't been tortured years. And nothing saved those prisoners of war quite like a nice bowl of soup.
It's a nice thought.
It is a nice thought.
He would enjoy it, big, for sure.
He would definitely love some soup. Okay, yeah. You can't deny that. Yeah.
I think Pumpkin and Mewtwo would be great friends.
Schmidt, you do have one more action. What are you thinking?
I don't fucking know, dude. Okay. I think I have a game plan.
All right.
If I try to communicate with the Mewtwo, is that an action?
More than two sentences. More than like two questions. It will probably become an action.
Okay. If I could just communicate to him, like, I have this Master Ball. I can use this to get you out of here. Do you accept the terms and conditions?
Roll a persuasion.
I have a gun. I can use this to get you out of here.
Oh my god. hold them each in your hand.
Second. Hold on. I'm proficient in persuasion. That shit has never come up before. That's a dirty 20.
Mewtwo responds in a telepathic voice that the Paco can hear. It says, whatever must be done.
Okay.
Oh, buddy.
I would like to use my final action to throw the Master Ball at Mewtwo.
You do that. And being the Master Ball, it does not require any checks. As it leaves Schmidt's hands and connects with Mewtwo laying on the ground, a sure shot. The capsule opens and swirls of purple light and stars and lighting effects emerge. And without hesitation, the Master Ball clunks into the sand and shakes three times and clinks shut. Schmidt, you have captured Mewtwo.
Holy shit!
We're catching legendaries, gang. We're at that level.
Let's go!
Something to acknowledge. Schmidt's Pokeballs begin to shake. At this moment.
Oh no.
Oh, actually, So what happens to the Pokeballs when they go away?
They go to the PC.
Okay, what happens to the Pokemon there? Are they, is it like a Professor Oak situation where they're like on a farm somewhere? Like, am I going to unleash Mewtwo on some random person?
The Paco has not investigated this.
Fuck. Okay, I'm just going to send Richie back and just keep the Master Ball next to me to where I know it will be safe.
Okay. Schmidt taps on Richie the Amogus Pokeball and shoop, into cyberspace. And I'm assuming Schmidt walks over to the Master Ball and retrieves it, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, Schmidt runs at the Mewtwo-shaped hole in the sand, the impression that his fetal body left there, and picks up the Master Ball from the middle of it and adds it to his inventory. With a powerful new party member in their possession, that is where we will leave it with the Quacko Paco. Hello, and thank you so much for listening to Dunsparce and Drampot. I'd like to give an extra special thanks to our many new patrons, including Ravenous53, Gekoko, Natani, Faye Star, Gator, Tavon, and Henry. If you are considering becoming a patron, do think about it. Patrons get access to post-show discussions for every group episode, as well as early access to bonus content, as well as DM materials, player interviews, and more. If that sounds interesting to you, please check out that link at linktree.com/dunsparce, as well as other links, linktr.ee/dunsparce. Thank you so much for joining us all the way through over 80 episodes on this campaign so far, and we will see you for the next one on April 16th. Should we recap?
I don't think we need to. We were just chilling, right?
Yeah, we were just hanging out. It was a very
nothing
casual.
Nothing big or important was happening.
Yeah.
I think we were actually talking about going bowling again.
It's about time, right?
So true.
Dude, that would be in my element.
Does Stuford have a bowling alley?
You never checked.
We can make one.
Well,
yeah,
let's line up some Corsola.
Oh my God, there's so
start
much
a bowling alley.
Right, dude.
Instead of bowling pins, it's Corsola.
Yeah.
Right.
They reset themselves.
That's how we deal with the Corsola problems. We just bowl them all away.
I mean, that's how we defeat Mewtwo, guys, is we challenge him to a
bowling
match.
Yeah, with 50-something.
And whoever wins gets to keep Jim Lee.
Oh, Jim Lee.
We're famous, guys, on Joel TikTok.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's the price you pay for success. Is
viral
a terrorist
baby.
Attack.
Hello, goodbye, hello, goodbye.
Wally misinterprets the instruction and sends Gallade to just knock out Schmidt.
No.
Punches
no.
him in the face.
No, I said beyond the wall, not in front of the wall. No!
Schmidt falls dead.
He falls in the Family Guy death
zone. He just got a new arm, no!
Yeah.
No, he just, they did that already with the one his arm.
And then
the first time.
Wally and Gallade turn around to look at Gimli and they say, I did it.
No!
Should we give him the rundown?
It's
like, okay, we got Rada. Rada has an Aggron.
I don't know if you guys have time because.
There's Yuri, and he's a twink.
How much do you want to say in 6 seconds, basically? I think Gimli already did it, but if you want to add anything.
Obliterate that twink!
Oh, God. Wally is a twink, too, is the problem.
Twink.
So if.
Oh, my God. This twink on twink.
He should be
violence.
Able to
identify. Twink violence.
Twink is that the episode title?
Violence.
Twink on Twink,
twink
Violence?
On Twink Violence. Oh, that's
oh,
goddamn.
No.
That's perfect.
That's the episode title, yeah.
I don't think that's allowed. I don't know if we
no.
can.
No.
Yeah, we can't allow Twink Violence, unfortunately.